Ephesians 6, we'll start in verse number 10, and it says, finally, my brethren. Now, Paul said finally before he even was done with this chapter, so don't get upset at me for saying finally, and then I go for 15 more minutes. Just trying to be like Paul, you know. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. Yes, say it to your neighbor, be strong in the Lord. In the power of His might. How many of you know He's not talking about physically? No. You can look at Ephesians, I won't turn there, but Ephesians 3:16. He tells us He wants us to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Yes. And so this is a strength in the inner man. Yes, strength in the inner man. Say the inner man. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs 24. You can go to that. We'll just look at a couple of verses here. Proverbs 24, verse number 10. It says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Say that out loud. If I faint in the day of adversity, my strength is small. He's talking about spiritual strength. Strength to do what? Well, you read here in Ephesians, remember he said, be strong in the Lord, in verse number 10, Ephesians 6:10, and in the power of His might. And then he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And then he talks about standing, withstanding, and standing, and having done all to stand, stand. So what's the strength of spirit for? It's to not give up. It's to not cave in. It's to not say, uncle. It's to not quit in faith. It's not stop believing God. Isn't that right? And so be strong. Why? Because you're going to have to stand against the enemy. You know, in Joshua 1:8, we've just read there, you know, this book of the law is not to depart out of thy mouth, and so forth. Meditate, and you may observe, do, make way prosperous. But all around that verse, he says, be strong, several times. I think it's three or four times. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong. And very courageous. How are you going to be strong? You're going to keep feeding on that word, meditating on it, and not get your attention on the yakety yak yak. But keep going back and saying, no, this is what the word says. I'm standing on the word. I'm not giving it up. I'm not saying that the devil won this one. I'm going to have to pick up the next time and try this again later. No, I'm going to stand. And when it looks like I'm already done, I'm going to keep on standing. If you haven't learned that discipline in life yet, then the enemy is going to be whooping you. I don't know if you know what I mean, but you're going to be beat up, kicked around, you know, moved, and not be somebody who obtains the promises. Bible said we're to through faith and patience, we're to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Notice he didn't just say faith, he said faith and patience. In other words, faith and perseverance. Amen. In other words, faith and faith again tomorrow and faith again the next day and faith again the next and faith again. Somebody said that it's over. It's too late. I'm not giving up. Amen. There needs to be a grunt in your faith. And there needs to be a sound that comes out of you that's defiant of everything that says it's not going to come to pass. If you'd help me a little bit better, I'd preach all right. And so we've got resources from God to be strengthened over and over again, or else God wouldn't say we can do this.
Yes, we do.
Amen. Amen. How many of you know there's all kinds of things in life that will take something out of you? I mean, tests and trials, resisting the enemy, people that are drains. I didn't really say that, did I? Who said that? Did I say that? People around us who are always taking something out of us rather than putting something into us. How many of you know the wiser you get and the older you get or whatever, they could go together sometimes. Becoming wiser as you get older, you kind of avoid the drains in life. Yeah, and that includes letting your mind go to places that drain you spiritually. Worry for 3 days or whatever. And so we're going to talk about being strengthened today with might to stand. Hallelujah. So there's all sorts of things in life that'll empty you out, but God's provided you something that'll fill you back up. Remember, he said in Ephesians 5, because we read here in Ephesians 6, be strong. But back in chapter 5, in verse number 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be being filled with the Spirit. Be continually, that's what the Greek says, filled with the Spirit. Be continually filled over and over again, not just one filling. The best time in the Holy Ghost should not be the day you got baptized in the Holy Ghost. That should just be the first time, but not the best time. Amen. When was the last time you just got beside yourself, happy, dancing, shouting, drunk on the Spirit? Whether it was through prayer or whether it was through praise or whether it was through some kind of meditating on the Word, just getting happy over the Word. By looking at some of you, you haven't done it for 3 years. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean on anybody today. It's just that you didn't come into church the way you usually do. Amen. Especially the back half of the church. I'm telling you, maybe next Sunday we're going to put seats up here and make you sit up here and face the whole crowd and look at them like you look at me. See if they can endure your sourpuss face, you know. See if we can have a good service with them seeing your face like I'm seeing yours. Woo! So God's given us something to fill us back up. I think I'm on the right subject this morning. Some of you drained out over the holiday. You need to be filled back up. Filled back up. Praise be to God. Now notice there in Proverbs, he didn't say in chapter 24, verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, you just have too many trials. No, it's not a matter of too many trials. It's a matter of not being strengthened. Not doing the right thing to continually be strengthened. Well, anyway, so while that conviction sets in, let's move to the next one. Let's go over. Let's go to... when the Bible says here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, the understood subject is you and me. Pray for me, Pastor, that I would be strengthened, that God would strengthen me. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Well, okay, I'll go somewhere else to church. All right, go over there and let them deceive you then. Not going to do it. No, you do something. Amen. Spiritual strength is the most renewable energy on the planet. Everybody wants to go green to renewable energies. Well, here's the most renewable energy on the planet. Spiritual strength. Amen. Well, I'm strong, Pastor. Well, by looking at your face, you're not. Nehemiah 8:10. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy of the Lord. Well, I got it in my heart. You lie. You lie. You lie. You lie. You lie. Bible said a merry heart doeth good, doeth good like a medicine, and a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. Yeah. So if you got it inside, it'll show up on the outside. Yeah. Amen. But I got so many tests or trials. No, you have little strength. You have little strength. Amen. Amen. There's all kinds of things that can empty you out, but God's given you something to fill you back up. Let's learn how to get filled up this morning. Amen. Amen. I said amen. So when it comes to these, when it comes to spiritual strength, you and I have got to learn that, you know, because here's why I believe God wants us to talk about this morning. Because, well, go to Luke chapter number 1 in order to lay this out. Go to Luke chapter number 4, excuse me, verse number 1. Luke chapter 4, verse number 1, it tells us that Jesus went, verse number 1, he being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days. And remember, there was temptations that we have record of. I'm sure there's more because it said for 40 days this went on. But the Bible said in verse 13, then when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So he went into this season. Say season. He went into this season full of the Holy Ghost. And then when the season was over, the devil ended this temptation. He departed from him for a season. Then look at verse 14, the very next verse. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went a fame out of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord's on me, he's anointed me, and so forth and so on. So he went into that season of test and trial full of the Holy Ghost. He came out of it still strong, still full of the Holy Ghost. Pastor, why are you preaching on this? Because we all came into 2021 for 2 months full of the Holy Ghost. And then COVID, and then this, and then that, and then derechos, and then this, and then that, and then the unsolved election, and then, and then, and then, and then, and then. And there's too many people that got drained out in 2020. And God's saying to you, I'm provided a means whereby you can go into 2020 and come out of 2020 full of the Holy Ghost. Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, tell somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. So God's given us a means whereby our inward man can be renewed and filled continually with the power of the greater one. Praise God. So when you look at these verses in Ephesians, we looked at Ephesians 6:10, and then we quoted Ephesians 3:16. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then it says in 3:16, He wants us to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So we know that feeding on the Word is a source of strength. But how many of you know being filled and refilled with the Holy Ghost is a source of strength? He said there in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. And then he said, stand. You're no match. What God knows and what you and I need to get a clue on is we're no match for the enemy on our own. He'll whoop us every single time. In our flesh, in our ability, in our wit, in our grit, in our spizzerinctum, you know, or whatever you want to call it, intestinal fortitude, he'll whip us every single time. But see, there's an infusion of strength that we can tap into and, listen, draw upon. Whereby He's no match for us. I mean, He comes up to us and He goes away. In fact, every time He tries to do something, you hear something like this. Hey, He takes off and he's whooped. Now listen to the Amplified of Ephesians 3. So excuse me, I keep saying 3. Ephesians 6:10. The Amplified says, let me see, I don't know if I have it Amplified in front of me. Is there somebody here? Andy, you got it? Ephesians 6:10 in the Amplified, it says something that's very important. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord and be empowered through your union with Him. Now listen to this. Draw your strength from Him. Draw your strength from Him. I want you to hear that word draw. Draw your strength from Him. Then he said, that strength which His boundless might provides. One translation says, which His boundless might affords. I'm telling you, you can afford it. Yeah, you can afford to take a stand in faith because the power of God will strengthen you and hold you and give you the victory. You can afford it. You can afford it. But I want you to notice, draw your strength from the Lord. People say, Lord, give me strength. And He said, why don't you draw what you need? Why don't you draw what you need? It's not a matter of seeing laying off on God to do something. It's a matter of us doing something. Because the understood subject in Ephesians 6:10 is you and I. You and I be strong. Well, if we're not strong, then we didn't do it. Now, maybe I should back up and explain weakness. Maybe people don't understand what weakness is. He said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. What is fainting? Fainting is doubting. Fainting is being discouraged. Fainting is getting stressed. Fainting is being depressed. Amen. All those are indicators of weakness. When somebody doubts, when somebody starts giving in, when somebody says, well, I guess that's the way it's going to be. I was believing God, but I guess it's not working out. You're fainting. You're fainting. Well, I don't know. I guess I don't know how to believe God. Well, you do, and you were. Just stick with it. That's the big key. Just stick with it. But you can't do that without continually drawing your strength from the Lord. Drawing your strength from the Lord. Say, draw your strength from the Lord. People say, Lord, give me strength. And he says, why don't you draw some? Why don't you make a withdrawal? Why don't you make a download? When was the last time you took an evening and said, honey, if you're married, honey, I'm just going to spend some time, me and Jesus, I'm going to make some downloads of strength. Amen. I mean, if you say you don't need that, then you're really not understanding what real faith really is. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Can I just be honest with you? There's a portion of the body of Christ, and we're part of the body. This church is part of the body of Christ. There's a portion of the body of Christ that is standing concerning what God said about this election. And there's a lot of people, though, just watching to see what's going to happen. You know why? Weak. Weak. Weakness gives in. Weakness just watches to see what's going to happen. Faith says, God said, and therefore we stand. Therefore we stand. Amen. I'll just dare say there's some people in this congregation. Well, just see what's going to happen. You're part of the problem, folks. I'm not saying everybody here. And I'm not trying to be mean. It's just that whenever you're mean on me, I'm mean on you. And some of you are being mean on me with unbelief this morning. So I'm going to be mean back to your unbelief. I don't like what came into this auditorium this morning. Been around people talking unbeliefs, what's happening. Pastor, I don't like when you get like that. Well, I don't like when you get like that. Amen. Listen, I'll hug your neck after service, but don't get around me with that unbelief. I'll deal with it. So everybody said hallelujah anyhow. Praise the Lord. And so when the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, the understood subject is you and I. Isn't that right? In other words, this is our responsibility. Well, in other words, we are completely in control of our own spiritual condition. It's not up to God if we're strong. Amen. I said it's not up to God. It's a matter of where our attention is. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it shows us that. 2 Corinthians 6, I'm sorry, verse number, let me see here. Chapter number 4, verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. And then I always like to put it together with verse 18. There's a lot of revelation in putting verse 16 and 18 together. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 18. For which cause we faint not. Have we ever seen anything in this study already this morning about fainting? For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man's renewed day by day. So he's talking about the inward man being continually let's put it this way, edified, charged up, fired up. The outward man perishes. The inward man, that word perishing just means getting older. But the inward man's renewed day by day. And then I always like to put that together with verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. In other words, our inward man is renewed while we're looking at things not seen. If we're looking at things seen, our inward man begins to wilt. Our faith begins to wilt. Amen. And we begin to give in and say, well, I was believing God. I'm not sure. Maybe not. We'll just wait and see. God needs people in the earth. Remember, Jesus said, whenever I return, will I find faith on the earth? He needs some people down here believing God for His plan to come to pass and for His plan for America to come to pass. He needs some people saying, you said, Lord, you said, and we stand. We stand. And it's not automatic that we're going to stand. It says, having done all to stand, stand. So there's some responsibility on our end in order to stand. What's one of our responsibilities? Here in this verse, while we look at things that are not seen, the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man is renewed. So really, the Bible talks about Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. Remember that? Strong in faith. And so really, spiritual strength and faith, the strength in faith, really comes by, because in the context of that, the Bible said that Abraham he didn't consider his own body. Right. Isn't that right? Yeah. So whenever he wouldn't consider his own body, he stayed strong in faith. He kept glorifying God for what he could not see and stayed strong in faith because he wouldn't look at what was seen. What was seen says there's no way. Listen, I'll tell you what God's doing right now, and I think some of us need a good illustration and an example set in front of us of what faith is really like. God's given the body of Christ a chance right now in America to use their faith so that people that don't really know what faith is like, and they hear all about it, but they've never done it, they can watch. This is how it's done. This is how it's done. Amen. God needs more people to learn. This is how it's done. He needs more people to have the discipline to keep their attention on what God said rather than on what the world's saying. Amen. Listen, I'll tell you what the devil's strategy is to keep passing time to people eventually give up. Time passing has nothing to do with what God said. Nothing to do with what God said. Amen. Praise God. So thank you for coming to church now. Praise the Lord. And so we've got to learn to do this. Now, let's think about something. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The understood subject is you and I. Amen. You and your life, me and my life. I can't do it for you. Isn't that right? We're so to see to it that we're continually strengthened. Now, remember we read back there in Ephesians 5, verse number, 18? It said, be filled with the Spirit. And we know that means be being continually. But when you go over to Ephesians 6, verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's the same play in the Greek. It's the same play on the word be being continually filled as it is in Ephesians 6, 18. Be being continually filled. Here, rather than say in the Greek, be strong in the Lord, it says be being strengthened. It's continuous. Not just one time. You know why? Because we put out strength. We need to recharge, be re-strengthened. We can put out strength by standing. We can put out strength by using our faith. We can put out strength by walking in love when we don't feel like it. And how many of you know you can come to the end of that? And you got to go back and recharge. And so he's talking about be being strengthened, be being continually strengthened in the inner man. Aren't you glad God's provided a means we can do that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we're responsible for that. If we're weak, it's because we've not done our job to be being strengthened. Because we allowed that condition. We turned our attention towards the wrong things. Amen. And so the Bible says that for us to not let our heart be troubled. John 14:27. So there's things that we are to not let our heart be. Don't be troubled. Don't let it be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Goes on to say, and don't let it grow weak. Sometimes young Christians don't seem to comprehend that just because they're still walking around, that they're not strong. You know, they think, well, you know, I had a good night's sleep and, you know, I got a good breakfast and I'm ready for my day and everything. And they think that that they're strong spiritually just because physically their body's still going, hasn't broken down yet. But spiritual strength is not an indication. I mean, let me put it this way. Spiritual, you can be walking around and still spiritually weak. What is an indication of being spiritually weak? You keep giving in. Whether it be the lust of the flesh to temptation, whether it be to sight when it comes to opposition against what you're believing God for, or the temptation of the enemy. Amen. Rather than standing, you're being moved from what you believe. Amen. That's an indication of weakness. And we're responsible to not let ourselves be there. I know a lot of Christians, they kind of think it's God's responsibility, but this verse is saying it's our responsibility. Amen. So if we're really fainting spiritually, getting worn out spiritually and giving up, it's because we've not continually practiced this verse, being renewed continually in our inner man. Amen. And if we would practice this by waiting on the Lord and being continually filled, then we would go through things and come out the other side with victory every time.
Yeah.
Say every time.
Every time.
Amen. But you won't be able to do verse Ephesians 6:10, continually being strengthened, without doing Ephesians 5:18, continually being filled. Because he said, chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord, number one. Number one. And number two, in the power of his might. What's the power of his might? That's the Holy Ghost. Be strong in the Lord could be strong. Remember, God had John write to the young men in 1 John 2:14. He said, I write to you young men, you are strong. The word of God abides in you. And you've overcome the wicked one. So being strong in the Lord includes getting the word in us.
Amen.
Getting the word in. You are strong. Notice how he equated being strong and the word abiding in us. The word abiding in us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It doesn't abide in us because we heard it one time back in 1997. It has to live. It has to abide by continually being watered and remain in us. So that's one thing about being strong, having the word in us. But second of all, and there's many verses that say that, but second of all, be strong in the Lord, number one. But second of all, and the power of his might, number two. You and I will never be a match for the enemy by not having continual fillings of the Holy Ghost. I said, hallelujah. We got to continually be filled with the Holy Ghost. I think we ought to have some, just get full of the Holy Ghost services again. Because during 2020, some things were taken out of us. And maybe some other things got into us. To poke your neighbor and say, it can't be you and I he's talking to. It's got to be somebody behind us. And the back row gets it all, you know. Amen.
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 So, really, you and I have got to live the Spirit-filled life. Brother Hagin said one time a lady came to his door. He and Miss Aretha were pastoring. And this was the middle of the night. They had been preaching in a city, I don't know, an hour or so away. But they wanted to just sleep in their own bed, so they would drive home every night after the service and a meal and fellowship with the pastors and then driving home and get real late when they'd get home. So they were sleeping in real later than usual in the morning. And, 8 o'clock in the morning or something, there was a knock at the door, and there was a lady there and her mother. And this young lady was crying, and she wanted Brother Hagin to pray for her. And so he's in his pajamas. He's just waking up, you know, and he'd been up late. And he said, all right, come on in. You know how it is when you're waking up. And so she sat down and, you know, I need to get back to God. All right. Because he had said this. He knew this lady. She had been out of fellowship with God before. Then she got into the church and was, you know, walking in fellowship with God. And he thought maybe she had sinned and got back out of fellowship with God. So he said, all right, well, let's pray. And the Lord will forgive you and so forth and so on. And whatever you've done. And she said, well, I don't know what I've done. He said, what do you mean you don't know what you've done?
Yeah.
Well, I just don't feel like I used to feel. You know, when I first got back to God, I had such a feeling that God loved me and accepted me and everything. And I just don't feel like I used to feel. Brother Hagin said, I got a little perturbed. He said, she got me out of a good sleep. Because she don't feel like she used to feel. Brother Hagin, because they were down, getting down on their knees. Brother Hagin said, get up there and sit on the couch.
Yeah.
Got a little straight with her.
Yeah.
He said, what do you mean you don't feel like you? Well, I used to feel like God loved me, and I don't feel like that anymore. Just lost the feeling. And she and Brother Hagin said, now, if I went by feelings right now, I'd have you pray for me. Because
yeah.
I just woke up, and I don't feel like I'm even saved.
Yeah.
I don't feel like a minister. I don't feel like ministering to you.
Yeah.
Amen. She said, you mean preachers feel that way sometimes? She said, of course, sure. Well, what do you do? Brother Hagin said, you sit there on the couch and you watch me. So he's half asleep still. And he said, glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you that I'm born again. Father, thank you that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you that you made me right with you through the blood of Jesus. And he began to thank God just in the flesh. Didn't feel it. Didn't feel like he was saved. Didn't feel like he was full of the Holy Ghost. Didn't feel like the blood had done anything for him. But he just started saying it. By the way, did you notice there in Ephesians 5:18? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, be filled with the Spirit, be continually filled. You notice the next words? Speaking. Speaking. How do you get filled? Saying something. Saying the right things. So that's what Brother Hagin started doing. He started drawing what was in him. He started drawing it up. Didn't feel like it. Didn't feel like it was there. If he had gone by feelings, he'd have had the young lady pray for him to get him saved. But see, it was in there all along. So he started drawing it. How did he draw it? He put the dipper of his tongue down in his spirit and started drawing up what's on the inside of him. He started drawing it out. And he said, thank you that I'm born again. He didn't feel it. Didn't feel it at all. Thank you that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you that the blood of Jesus has made me right. Thank you that I'm a child of God. And Father, you are my very own Father. About that time, something hit him. And it started coming up out of him and started, gushing out over him. And he said the Spirit of God started coming up out of him and flowing out of him. And he got full of the Holy Ghost sitting right there, just thanking God for all the blessings. And she stopped him. She said, something happened. Something happened. What happened? He said, what happened? She said, your faith lit up. Your face lit up. Your face lit up. Amen. He said, that's exactly right. That was in there the whole time. Even though I didn't feel it, it was in there the whole time. She said, can I do that? He said, absolutely. And she started doing the same thing. And rather than say, God, give me that feeling back, she just said, thank you that I am. Thank you that I am. Thank you that I am. And she got full of the Holy Ghost. She left on cloud nine, as we say. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I get perturbed at depressed people. Now, you might say, that's mean, Pastor. Well, listen, I had the same things coming against me all those years as a teenager. So I'm compassionate with people when they don't understand. But I'm not talking about being perturbed with people that don't understand. I'm talking about people that understand, but still don't do anything with what they keep their dipper up here rather than dipping it down into their spirit. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching to somebody here. It might be you. I don't know. Amen. And then they say, well, the devil's whooping me, the devil's this. You're no match for the devil as an empty vessel. No wonder. You're no match for him as an empty vessel. You've got to be continually filled. Just shout until the power falls. Shout until you get it off of you. Woo, it's bubbling inside of me right now. Hallelujah. I tell you, you do this properly rather than say, oh, another day where the devil's going to beat me up. You do this properly and get filled, you'll be looking for the devil. Where you at? Good. Give me your best shot, man. I'm ready for you. Woo. So in order to really be victorious against the enemy, you're going to have to be continually filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. All right. Now, I'm glad you finally came to church. You ready for some more here now? We must need these times of refreshing because God wouldn't have provided them for us if we don't need this. I need it. I mean, after the derecho and a few weeks of that, I was like, okay, I tell you what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to lock myself in that little place up above the garage. There you go. Ha, 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 the devil's a liar. He's under my feet. Ha, 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 and got it off of me. Didn't need you to pray for me. Didn't need Pastor Debbie to lay hands on me. God wants us to learn how to stay charged up without jumper cables. Yeah, without jumper cables. You know what jumper cables are? That's somebody else praying for you. Somebody else. You draw on your strength from them. You, why don't you be the source of strength to where everybody wants to get around you because you're always strong. Praise the Lord. Now go to Daniel chapter number 7. Daniel 7, we need to understand what the devil and the enemy is going to, one of his strategies in the last days. Daniel chapter number 7, you know, we're in the last days. And, you know, 2021, it's possible. It's possible we'll see other things like 2021. Well, I'm not believing for that, Pastor. Neither am I. Neither am I. I'd like a year of just, you know, better roses. How about 2021 be a better roses year? I'll sign up for 25 of those. But it's possible it won't be. Because in the last days, the Bible says Satan's going about with great wrath because he knows his time is short. Well, Pastor, that makes me afraid. That's a sign of weakness. That's a sign of weakness. Taking thoughts like that's a sign of weakness. Because he's wanting to get this tribulation thing on, and it's not his time. This is our time. This is harvest time. This is reap the souls of the earth time. This is new era time. This is outpouring of the Spirit time. Revival time. Well, that's what I need, Pastor. I need a revival. Well, the Bible talks about over there in Acts, where they were preaching, Peter was preaching, and he said, repent and be converted, sins will be blotted out, and then times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. I believe there are times where the Spirit of God moves through the earth, but if you and I practice the Word for ourselves, we determine when those times are. Be not drunk with wine, but be being filled. He didn't say, whenever, wait for a time of refreshing to come to be filled. See, for believers, times of refreshing are for people that don't know how to do this on their own. For believers, times of refreshing are any time I dip my tongue down into my spirit and start speaking and edifying myself. Woo-hoo! You practice this correctly, you can turn the worst of times into the bestest of times. Yeah, the Bible said, over there in 2 Corinthians, we read there where it talks about looking at things not seen and so forth. And then he said, right there in the context of that, he said, making these things can be made to work for us. These things work for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. You can turn all the devil throws at you around to make it work for you. Make it work for you. Make it work for you. Whenever I hurt my back, I was praying. I said, Lord, I'm going to just stand in faith, of course, and that's what we do. But the Lord said, I also want you to go to a physical therapist. Well, okay. I mean, I bless God. I got faith. Yeah, yeah. And faith can't be separated from being led by the Spirit. So I said, all right, Lord, I hear you. I know. I hear you. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to do it. Praise God. That's different than I used to do. So I said, all right. So I set it up and did it. And they said, what's your goal? I said, well, number one, get rid of the pain. Yeah. Number one, get rid of the pain. Number two, I want to strengthen my core, because I said, I got a question for you. Before I say what number two goal is, I said, I got a question for you. I said, and I didn't tell him the Lord said anything. I just said, a while back, but it was the Lord that had said it. He put it in my heart to strengthen my core. Now, what is that? That's the muscles right here in the stomach and lower back and even your thighs and stuff. And that holds your good posture, you know. And I might even said something to the church about it. I'm strengthening my core. And finding I had glutes and didn't know what glutes were and all that. Yeah. Remember, that was a couple years ago.
Yes, sir.
The Lord had put that in my heart.
Yes, sir.
And so, well, I did it for what, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Then I got busy and, you know. And so, forgot about it. And then injured myself. And so, I said to the physical therapist, I'm of the opinion, I didn't say why, because really the Lord had spoken to me, is why I'm of the opinion. But I said, I'm of the opinion. I don't try to super spiritualize things to people that don't know anything about the Holy Ghost. But I said, I'm of the opinion that if I had properly, because a while back I wanted to strengthen my core and I got busy and forgot about it. And I said, if I had properly done that, I wouldn't have injured myself. Is that correct? Uh-huh. Because the way I injured it was by sitting in a seat on a track machine, you know, bouncing like that. And if I'd have had muscle tension, it would have held things better in place. She said, yeah, you're right. See, that just confirmed the Lord was trying. Isn't the Lord good? He was trying to help me before I even knew I needed help. Whew, he's so good. So I said, What's your goal? Number one, I want to get rid of the pain. Thank you very much. Right now. Yesterday. Can we do that yesterday? Number two, I want to strengthen my core. So, and I'm committed to practicing this, living this way. From now on, I'm going to live exercising my core. You know what I mean? And I'm not putting that on you. Please don't take it that way. I'm just saying what the Lord's trying to help me with. And so I said, and I want to keep that core strong so that, because the Lord told me, drive this all the way out. I woke up one morning and he said, drive this all the way out. So I knew it took faith, number one. I knew it took doing the right things in the natural, number two. So I'm doing that. Well, I would like to just, you know, go to the physical therapist and say, here's, you know, $500. Can you strengthen my core? I want to buy strong muscles. Here's $500. I want a six pack right here. How much are they? Boy, I'm gonna 53 years old, man. I'm telling you what. No, that's vain. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just messing with you on that. That's really vanity. I'm not doing it for that purpose. I'm doing it to run my race and finish my course. Because when you can't sit on an airplane for 3 hours because you're hurting too bad to do the will of God, well, guess what happens to the plan? So it's not about being, you know, whatever people get all vain about. So I said, but guess what I have to do morning and night? Give them more money to give me that. No, they can't give me that. No, I can't do that. I got to get down there and I got to, and work it. Work it. Amen. People don't want to do that. They just want to eat. To be strong, I've got to eat. And there is some truth to that. That's part of it. But no, to be strong, you've got to exercise. But the Word of God, see, what I'm saying is, it's not enough to just feed on the Word of God to be strong. Not enough. You got to go out and say, all right, here goes. I'm going to stand and push away something that's trying to get into my life that's in contradiction to the covenant that I've got written on this, in this Bible, and I'm not going to accept. I'm not going to roll over and let this thing steamroll my life. Just like an injured back, I'm not going to let that thing stay in my life. And so I've been using my faith, number one, feeding my spirit on healing like I never have, well, haven't for a long time. And then number two, doing what I know to exercise my faith, just like I am in the natural, exercising physically in the natural. Amen. So you got to learn to, not just feed on the word, but get up in the morning and go, hallelujah, praise you, Lord. I got the victory. I got the victory. I got the victory. And I couldn't have done that a few weeks ago right there. I'll tell you what. Glory.
Glory.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
See, that's, you get stronger by, remember, Abraham grew strong in faith by getting more word in him. Is that what it said? No, by giving glory to God. Hallelujah. When I hear you praising God, it's, I think of whenever I get on the floor and I do the exercises. What's he doing? Strengthening himself. When you're praising, you're strengthening yourself. Glory! Hallelujah! Our houses need to get a little noisier. Yeah, and I'm not talking about the TV, the internet, or kids' cartoons. I'm talking about, come on, kids, let's get out here. Praise you, Jesus! Because you don't see the money for the rest of the month. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. All right, Daniel 7. Daniel 7, look at verse 25. Now, this is a prophecy about the Antichrist. And he's not here yet, but the spirit of Antichrist is. If you don't recognize that, then wake up and smell the coffee or smell the word or something. Wake up. Verse number 25, this is talking about the Antichrist. He'll speak great swelling, well, other translations say swelling, words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Look at that. That's his goal. He wants to wear out the saints. That's his strategy against believers in the last days. You need to understand, that's what the enemy tries to do in our day. He wants to wear us out. Wear us out. Keep telling us lies. Keep telling us lies. Keep telling us lies. Keep telling us lies. Whether it's to our own mind or whether it's through the news media. The devil's a liar no matter whose mouth he's using. No matter whose mouth he's using, he's a liar. But he wants to wear us out. Wear us down. The Hebrew for wearing down, wear out there in the King James. The Hebrew literally says to wear out means to be spent mentally. Have you ever had the thought, listen, I got an idea. I'm going to leave and nobody knows where I went. I don't want to be around all this anymore. I want to go to Alaska and I want to be a bushman. I want to cut down trees and build my house and I want to eat squirrels and I don't want internet. I don't want telephone. I don't want to be around anybody. I don't want any of this mess. I don't want any of this politics. I don't want any of this blah, 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 blah. Have you ever had that thought? I have too. We could all do it together up in Alaska or something, you know. Or maybe the hills of Hawaii. That'd be better, you know. But you know what that is? Wanting to do that? Weakness. Ooh. Now you realize I said that I have been there before. So don't take that all personal. Just went away from all this. I remember somebody that was coming to church here for a while and really started growing in the Lord and the Word. But see, you ever notice the Word, the Bible says the enemy comes for the Word's sake? So he began to attack their mind and bombard their mind and just harass them and put thoughts in their mind. And the opposition to what they were hearing was intense. And we've all experienced that. It got so, the pressure against them got so strong, they had several friends in the church and different ones knew them real well, knew their phone number, knew where they lived, knew everything, knew their address, everything. Be at their house and fellowship and everything. And one day, just out of the blue, nobody could locate them. Their phone, they wouldn't answer their phone. It wasn't, I guess it was phone change numbers. They didn't live where they used to live. They didn't, no response to any means of trying to contact them. And to this day, nobody knows where they went. That's weakness. I said, that's weakness. Got to get away from it all. Well, you can do that without leaving society. You can just unhook from all that they're saying out there and tune into the Word. Now, I believe in vacations. Don't misunderstand me. And I believe Pastor Debbie and I do one. But that's not my point. But here's the thing. People that are always like, I need a vacation. Their problem is not that they need, well, I need rest, I need rest. Their problem is not they need rest. The problem is that they don't keep filling themselves up. They don't keep filling themselves up. That's good preaching, Pastor Jay. They go on vacation, they come back, and they're like, oh, I'm so worn out. Well, when aren't you worn out? It just seems like you live that way. How many of you know God has something better for us than that? Yes, he does. And so Satan wants to keep wearing people out. That's his strategy here in Daniel 7:25. But notice this is Daniel 11, verse number 32. He's talking about in the midst of the enemy trying to do this, there's this group of people that are pretty unique in the last days. Daniel 11, 32. Look at them. See if this is you. See if you identify yourself. Such as do wickedly against the covenant, so he shall corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Anybody in here fit that second part of that verse? Shall be strong. He's trying to wear them out. We just read that. He's trying to wear them out. Just tell them this bad report. Tell them this bad report. Keep bringing derechos, bringing COVIDs, bringing whatever. Just keep bringing it. And these people, they just stay strong. They just stay strong and actually start doing exploits in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's not adversity that makes people weak. It is not doing the right thing in the midst of adversity. How could, it says there that, remember the Hebrew actually says rather than wear out, the Hebrew says to be spent mentally. How could it be that Satan could get somebody, that somebody could get to the place where they're spent mentally? He captures their attention. You remember Luke says in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear because of looking on all the things. That means their attention is on that. You're going to have to learn to turn some news off. The further we go in the end times, you're going to have to learn to turn some stuff off. Turn some stuff off. Rather than be a part of, you know, that draining spiritually, be a part of the solution. Amen. 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 Tell your neighbor, that's us. So Satan wants to capture our attention. Really, that's what the trials and tests are designed to do. They're to speak to us in order to capture our attention. Remember whenever Peter saw the wind boisterous, he was walking on the water. He saw the wind boisterous. That's the way the devil talks. Boisterous, boisterous. He wants, why? He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to capture, captivate it, and hold us. And listen, where our attention goes, that's what we start partaking of. When our attention is on this, we partake of that. When our attention is on the Word, we start taking in of the life of the Word. That's why it says to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. Amen. We start partaking of these things when our attention goes on them. And that's why we, according to 2 Corinthians there in chapter 4, while we look on the things not seen, the inward man is renewed day by day. Glory. Satan's out there. He wants to deal blow after blow, threat after threat, suggestion after suggestion, try to wear down the people of God. He wants us to get busy running around, our attention on natural things, putting out fires, running from one fire to the next, Satan's trying to keep us disconnected from really the source of our strength. There's people in the Bible, there's Genesis, Jacob said this in Genesis 42. He said, you know, my sons, one's dead and another one's dead, and now they're trying to take my son Benjamin. And he said, all these things are against me. But he didn't know it was all working for him. Especially this one about Benjamin, it's all working for him. All these things are against me. You ever felt like that? If it's not this, it's that, and it's COVID, and it's this, and the government, and the taxes, and I'm just throw off the towel. It's all against me. You ever felt like that? You ever met people that every time you talk to them, how you doing? Well, I got this going on, and oh, this is wearing me out, and I'm so busy, and this, you know, aunt so-and-so, she's kind of being a mess and a problem right now, and you know, I just, you know, my kids are acting up, and the school's putting pressure on me to change this, and every time you meet them, they go on and on. It's like they've got a list they pull out, and they go through their list of tests and trials. You ever met people like that? I hope it's not you when you looked in the mirror that you met. You know what that is? That's a weak person. See, we talk about weakness. Oh, no, we're all strong. Well, when we identify symptoms of weakness and see ourselves, we're like, whoa. Now, listen, you can be re-strengthened and get out of that. Amen. Hallelujah. And whenever you strengthen yourself, you'll say like Paul in Acts 20, verse number 4. He said, none of these things move me. Oh, yeah, they're all there, but I'm not being moved by any of them. Isn't that right? And Romans 8. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So how you're talking about all these things, derechos and stuff and COVIDs and whatever IDs there are and diseases there are. What are you saying about all these things? If you're saying, we always try, if in all these things, like Paul said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Not whenever they're over. He said, in all these things, right in the middle of all these things. We are not going to be whenever it's over. We are more than conquerors. Come on, somebody act like Spirit of Faith Family Church. We are. We are. We are. We are. We are. Already are. Not trying to be. Already are. And we're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors.